we come to you this morning, Father, and we're thankful, Lord God, that we have a place that you have helped provide for us, Lord, to where we can come, Lord, and have it dedicated to that we know we can come and worship you, Father. We know we can come, Lord, to hear from your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning, Father, and we ask, God, now that you will come, Father, and anoint your servant, Lord, Father, that you can come and speak to your people, Lord God, and bring them, Father, the help that they need this morning, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to read from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. We are reading there to for our text. We want to continue to preach on times of refreshing, about the refreshing times of the Lord. Amen. And amen. Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. You may be seated. The last time we spoke on this, we brought out things about how the age that we are living in, this world that we have to, that we're living in every day, and you know, the things of life that we must do. You know, we've got to provide for ourselves, you know, to be able to eat and have a place to live and those things. And of course, God gives us the strength to be able to do it. He gives us the jobs. He gives us the things that a way to supply it. And God, even at times when it seems like those don't seem to be enough, God always has another way. Amen. God has always took care of us. And you know, you think back over your life that it was even God that was taking care of you before you came and gave your life to the Lord. You know, you are alive today because God watched over you. You know, as a matter of fact, some of us, we're alive in spite. We are alive today in spite of ourselves. Because if God hadn't intervened so many times in our lives, you know, and it had all been in our hands, we wouldn't even be alive today. Because many times we listened to things and done things that was going to kill us. And, you know, and so it was just God's mercy upon us. But I want you to realize something. It wasn't God's mercy on your flesh. Many times people think about the love of God and they think about God loving their flesh. I don't really want to get into that today because it's something else I'm looking into. But, you know, it wasn't about your flesh. It was about that seed gene of God, the real you that's on the inside of this flesh, you know. And so God was looking out after us, but there's times that that we get weary. There's times that, you know, things just seem to get pressing in on us, and because of the way that, because of us being human, and we're subject to our emotions and things, and those things of our emotions and our thoughts and things can be actually influenced by the things that are around us, and you know, and so there's times where you need to get alone with God. You know, you need to be refreshed, and you know, and you know. If you've got a job and you've got something you got to do, you got somewhere you got to go, you can't just stop. You got to keep living, you know. So And there's times that when you're out, maybe you've got a work week, and you've got a work day, and you're out, and there's things that you've got to get done on the job or whatever it is, the task that, and you realize this, friends. Look, as a Christian, you are supposed to give whoever has hired you, you're supposed to give them a full day's work. You're sloughing off on the job, or shamming, as we used to call it in the Army, you know, you're actually cheating them. That's actually robbing them. So, you know, if they're paying you to do a job, you're supposed to give your all and do it. You know, and so there's times you gotta, you're involved in it, you're in it, you can't just stop and take a break. You know, but the thing about it is, your job doesn't necessarily require you to say, well, I can't think about any of the things of the Lord right now. I can't actually just call on the Lord, Lord, help me right now. You know, and the thing is, friends, God knows the pressures that we live in this age. And I'll tell you something, the pressures of this age, we look back at ages gone by, you know, and we think about the saints when they had to make a decision. Am I going to deny Christ, or am I going to stand for Christ? If I deny Christ, then, you know, they tell me I can live. If I don't, then they tell me they're going to throw me in here with these lions, or they're going to put me in this arena and saw me in half, or they're going to, pull me asunder with horses and all these different things. Those things happened to the saints of God back in the ages. And we think that would have been hard. That would have been tough. But the prophet tells us this age is even tougher on people, because now there's other types of pressures. You know, and I'll tell you, on the ministry in this day, this nation would love to put pressures on us to prevent us from actually being able to actually tell you things that are in the Word of God. You know, they come with these things. If you say this about this group or these people or this, or if you say that's wrong, that's hate crimes. Well, you know, what kind of a crime do you think God would be accused of for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God hate that? Oh, yeah, he hated it. Because it was sin, because it was an abomination. And I'll tell you something, he ain't changed his mind about it. But we've got all these pressures, and friends, and God knows that with these things, we need to be refreshed. We need refreshing in our spirit. You know, you can say, well, I'll just read this and I'll read that, you know, and I'll make sure I go to church. But I'll tell you something. You can't live without coming into the presence of God. You know, we brought out the example about how that it was laid out through the scriptures, and how the prophet has taught us about coming into the presence of God, and the difference that it makes coming into the presence of God. And coming in, and the thing about it is, friends, to really truly come into the true presence of God, and to really get the most benefit out of it, you've got to come to his word. I wasn't sure whether I was, I've moved this, I've got this section, turn with me to Hebrews 6. I've got this in my notes. I've had it in here for two or three services now, and I've moved it around, and I've moved it back and forth, and even today I've moved it around, I think, three times before I came out here. I wasn't sure if I was even going to get to this or not, so I've actually pushed it to the end of my notes just to see how I would feel led when I got up here and see how the Holy Spirit was leading. But I guess it should have been in the first part of my notes. Hebrews 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from the Lord. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, Jesus tells us that the sun shines on the evil and the good alike. He tells us that the rain comes to the just and the unjust. And, you know, when God sends his, you know, people can come to church. And they can get in the blessings, under the blessings of the Lord. And that's one of the things that I wanted to point out this morning was the importance of where the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And that one of the, you know, look, the reason that we come together is not so we can sit here and just talk over things. We don't come here so that we can see one another. Fellowship is grand. Seeing one another is good. You know, and it's helpful. But that's not why we come here. We come here to get in the presence of the Lord. We don't come just to hear good words. We don't come just for somebody to get up and give us a good speech, to encourage us, make us feel good about ourselves. We don't come here for somebody to tell us, well, you know, if you'll sow this seed, you know, then God's going to bless you and you're going to have a ton of money and you know, and all this stuff like that. That's not what we come here for. Friends, look, our desire is to be more like Christ. We realize in order to take a rapture that we actually got to come to a certain level. We've got to come to a certain level in the Word in our lives, as the Bible calls it, the stature of a perfect man. And that there must be fruits of the Spirit present in our lives. And yes, there are things that we realize, especially when we look around and we see how blind some of the religious world is today and things, and they're blind on the trueness of Godhead. They're blind on, they're actually blind about God himself. They're blind about Jesus Christ, many of them. They're blind about the Word of God. They're blind to truth. Many of them, you realize this, look, don't get me wrong. I know there's some message people, you know, they get together and they have fellowships and that, and they play volleyball and they rent a gym and they do this and that. Hey, that's fine for young people. But you know what, friends, look, if we've got to do that to get people to come to church, then we have got our focus on the wrong thing. We're not in the business of trying to get members. We come here so that the seed of God, the children of God, can actually grow in the things of the Lord and actually become more Christ-like in our life. And we do that because, yes, we get instruction by the Word. You know, you look back over the years I've been pastor here and look at so many different things that the Lord has actually brought. And it just isn't always about the mysteries and the understanding of these things and all that. But there's actually been things that God has dealt with us on here about, you know, how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives day to day. How we present ourselves to the Lord. How we present ourselves. Look, friends, when we're coming here to church, you're not coming here to meet with John, Sam, or Sally. You're coming to meet with the Lord. And I'm not saying, you know, in order to come to church, you know, every sister's got to wear a certain thing and all the brothers got to have suits and ties and all that, you know, and that, and you know, and no, we're not saying this. But I'll tell you this, you should try to present yourself your best when you come. And I'm not getting into, you know, you got to wear a certain type of material of clothes and all these different things and that, like that. And but what I'm saying is, you know, at least be decent and respectful. I can remember a time when one message, I had to say something years ago about, because we had some sister that was coming in here, you know, and she had on some kind of a top that every time she moved her hands a little bit, she was showing her belly button. Hey, look, that's not respectful. Don't come in here dressed like the world. Like I said, I'm not laying down some law of what kind of shoes you got to wear and what kind of pants you got to wear and what kind of dresses you got to wear and all that. I don't believe in any of that stuff. But what I'm saying is, realize where you're coming and come respectful. Look, friends, I know how this world is. And I have watched people that at one time even come to church here, and I maybe hadn't seen them for years. They had left church, and I hadn't seen them for years. And then I happened to run into them down here on Main Street at Taylor's Funeral Home. And they're coming in there for a funeral. And I look at the way they're dressed, and I said, come on, you're coming here for a funeral. This isn't a pickup bar. And I've seen them come in there, friends, and they're stripped off like they're dressed like a prostitute or something. That's what I'm talking about. Be respectful. I believe in dressing decent, dressing modest. So I believe there is a right reproach to the Lord. And we don't come here to this church, you know, just so we can see one another or fellowship with one another. We're coming here so, because, friends, we're coming here to learn of the Lord. And we're coming here to actually be judged by the word now. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Now, I know I've heard people after different services back over the years and that, I've heard people say, man, I got whooped today. Well, is that all you got out of it? Look, if the Bible teaches us, look, if God's correcting you, that has some meaning to it. That gives you some identification. And if you can take the correction, it just proves who you are. The Bible says that plain. It says if you can take it, you're children of God. They can't take correction. Look, friends, the Bible says by their fruits, you'll know them. If they can't take correction, then it shows who a person is. Now, Brother Branham brings this out when he's talking about this scripture of the rain here coming from Hebrews. It says the earth which drinketh in the rain, and the rain comes. And you know, friends, look, I grew up part of my life out in an area of Ohio which they grew a lot of crops. And I got to work on some farms and things, and I got to watch things. I lived around it and all that. And so the thing is, there's things I read in the Bible, I'm like, oh, I totally understand that. When it starts talking about the rain coming down and how the wheat is there, gets refreshed by the rain, and it lifts up its head. But, you know, when you look out across that a field of wheat, when it's all green, you can't tell the tares from the wheat. And when the rain comes, the weeds and the tares, they all get refreshed and lift up their heads too. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So people can come to church and they can, and when the presence of God comes through, friends, look, they can worship, they can shout, all these things. But I'll tell you something, unless they're surrendering themselves to the Word, it's really not having a lasting effect on them. You know, when I remember when I would drive during the different seasons past the wheat fields, you know, and when the wheat's first coming up, you know, they plant it there in Ohio. They plant it actually before winter. And so when winter comes and the snow falls, the wheat has already come up and it's about yay tall. And it's all green. And then that snow blankets it, and it actually protects it from the cold, but it also gives it, as it melts, it gives it the moisture and water that it needs to be able to grow, so that when the springtime comes and the temperatures begin to rise and the sun's coming out and shining, and that the wheat can really begin to grow. And the wheat will grow, and it'll get real tall. And it'll have actually a head that will eventually form on it. But I'll tell you something, the tares that are in that field, they also come up. Now, the farmer didn't sow them tares. It's just, it's in the earth. And so it also comes up, and it also has a head on it. And from a distance, when the breeze and the wind is blowing over the wheat, and the heads are bending and going like that, the tares, you can't tell the difference. But when the harvest time comes, all that wheat turns a golden color. And then them tares stick out like sore thumbs. And this scripture, it says, you know, shall we uproot the tares because the tares are there? Shall we uproot? And he says, no, don't do that, because if you do that, you'll also uproot the wheat. You'll damage the wheat. Just let it grow. It's going to come a time of harvest. And in the time of harvest, he says, you'll be able to know, because by their fruit you'll know them. And in the time of the harvest, the Bible tells us, which is the time of the rapture of the saints, the wheat, the children of God, are going to be gathered up to heaven. And the tares would be bind for burning. Now, we look around, you know, you think back in the times, you know, and some of you have been serving the Lord for many years, and you've maybe been actually and had experience in different, even message churches, and you've met a lot of people and been around a lot of people, you know, and there's a time that when you were around them, you know, you thought, you know, well, this person, they're just as much in love with the Lord and got a desire for the Lord as I do. And, you know, and you sung together and you shouted together and you fellowshiped together and you testified together, you know, and you attended church together and you gave tithe and offerings together and you done all these things, you know, and everybody seemed to be, you know, having obedience somewhat to the word and that. But and when the presence of God would come through the service, you know, the people, everybody was getting blessed in that. But then you're looking back now at these times gone by, and then you look around you and you say, where are they today? That's why Jesus said, those who endure till the end, the same shall be saved. There's an enduring. You know, when the Lord brings correction to us, the thing is, we should rejoice. Look, he cares enough that he's not letting us go down the wrong path. He's showing his love. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't correct us. But being just, you got to realize He makes it available to everyone. So it rains on the just and the unjust. Now, we come and we gather and we get in the presence of God. And you know, friends, look, you know, there's just nothing that compares to actually being there when the presence of the Lord comes down and His Spirit just coming and sweeping through. But you know, there's sometimes why the word's being preached and the preaching is going on. You know, you say, well, I feel something, but I don't feel it real strong. Not yet. It's because there's a time for the seed to be sown. Then there's a time for the presence of the Lord to come and water that seed. Brother Branham says the preaching of the word refreshes you. It refreshes you, friends, because it continuously points at your identification. It continuously points at who you are. It points at your election. You know, we read on Thursday night how that in the book of Revelations, when it was talking about this age that we're living in, it said that it was that the people were rich and increased with goods and believed they had need of nothing. So, but they know not that they're actually poor and wretched and blind and naked. And I think about that, and I friends, look, I rejoice because I think about that song where it says, he didn't have to open my eyes. See, it's talking about the age we're living in. He didn't have to open my eyes. For the age I was living in was blind. He didn't have to call me, but he did. He could have easily, the song said, passed me by. And I think about that song, you know, when the presence of the Lord is coming through in this service, I think about that song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my earnest cry. Look, friends, I'm not too proud to tell the Lord I've got some needs. I'm not too proud to admit when I'm wrong. And I need the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, in this message I was reading, Making the Valley Full of Ditches, Brother Branham says, how many reads the Bible? He said, that's the bread and the meat for the Christian. The Bible says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friends, look, we need our spiritual food. If you would ever look around at those that are actually, they're eating of a church life. The ones that they eat of some type of church creed. And by meaning of that, I mean is, you know, they say, well, you know, we believe this and we believe that, you know, and you got to do this and you got to do that and that, and you know, then we're acceptable and all this, you know, and they try to, you know, those people, they try to live good moral lives. But that's not enough. We've got to surrender to the Lord. Brother Branham says, we've got to live from the word. And he said, you know, what if I was a doctor tonight? And a young fella come up to me and he said, and he was weak and run down. And I said, "What's the matter, son?" He said, "I'm weak, doctor. I can hardly stand up." And he said, then "I would check some physical things about him and say, well, this and that seems to be all right." He says, "Well, what makes you weak?" He said, "I don't know, doctor." And he says, "Well, what did you eat last?" And he said, "I had a cracker the day before yesterday." And he'd say, "Well, then the only thing you actually need is a good square meal. You've become anemic. You've become run down and weak." And Brother Aaron said, "Look, that's what's the matter with the church today. That's what's the matter with the Christians today. They're not eating. And they become weak." Look, friends, if the only time you talk to God is when you feel sick, the only time you talk to God is when you get in trouble, you're missing out. We need to be refreshed. We need to come into the presence of the Lord. And it is one of the reasons that we come to church. We're expecting to get in the presence of the Lord. We're wanting to get refreshed. Yes, we're wanting to be instructed by the word. We're wanting, and that's how we grow in faith. But we want to feel his presence. Brother Branham said, if you're not eating on the word of God, he said, then you're mixing out on the vitamins of God. You take somebody, you know, that says, "Well, you know what? I'm a vegetarian or I'm a vegan." Do you realize that if they don't take some kind of supplements, they'll die? Why? Because this human body needs protein. And you can't get enough protein from any type of plant life. You've got to have meat. Now, if you're a vegan or vegetarian or whatever, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to say the protein supplements that people take, the supplements is the same thing you get when you eat meat. And look in the Bible. You look in the New Testament and you see that, you know, it talks about, you know, it gives examples, you know, of likening the eating of God's word, not just to bread, but meat. Look, Paul points that and says, you know, when you should be eating meat, he said, some of you are still babes and you happen to have milk. And what he's talking about is the actual revelation of the word of God that you should be living on. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, It tells a happening of the time when Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab, had come to be king of Israel. And realize that at this time, the kingdom was split. You remember, look, God actually divided the kingdom of Israel under toward the end of the reign of Solomon. Because of Solomon, you know, he started bringing in gods from these different wives that he had married from all over the place. And so God said, you know, look, I'm not going to take everything because he's David's son, you know, and I made a promise to David in that. He said, but I am going to take and I'm going to divide out 10 of the tribes, you know, and I'm going to leave one to Solomon there in Judah because of Jerusalem being there. And he says, and you tell it was Jeroboam. You tell Jeroboam that I'm going to place him there to rule over those 10 tribes. And that's how the kingdom became divided. But Jeroboam, he committed sin in the eyes of the Lord when he, after he had actually, after the death of Solomon, and he had become king over the 10 tribes of Israel, and he was called the king of Israel, and he committed sin because what it was, you know, here was Solomon's son that was set up in Judah, and there was Jerusalem, and friends, the city of Jerusalem was where they came to worship. City of Jerusalem, where they came to offer their sacrifices in that. And Jeroboam thought, well, now look, hold on. If these people continue to go up there to Jerusalem, to the king of Judah up there, they're eventually going to return back to the house of David, and they're going to turn against me. So Jeroboam, what he did was, he had them form two golden calves. And he placed them in two separate places there in Israel. And he told the people, you can come here and worship. You don't have to go up to Jerusalem. And said, you can go here, you know. And then, you know, the times when they would have the certain feasts and different things that they had to observe, and they were supposed to go to Jerusalem to do this. And so Jeroboam starts making, you can do this here and all that and everything. So it was called the sins of Jeroboam. So when so later on, you know, we find the down through different kings, and Ahab became kings, and we know the king, and then we know the sins of Ahab. You know how Ahab, he brought in the worship of Baal from the wife that he married, the unbeliever Jezebel, you know. And Brother Branham said, look, if you ever marry an unbeliever, you're going to find you're going to lose victory in your life. But then, you know, Ahab dies, and then his son eventually is coming to sit on the throne, Jehoram. And Jehoram, he didn't keep the worship of his father and mother of Baal and all that. But he still kept the sins of Jeroboam. You know, where you don't got to go to Jerusalem, you can come here and all these things. So, you know, and said, Jeroboam said, these calves are the ones that brought you out of Egypt. Where'd they hear that before? Yeah. And so, you know, so Jehoram, you know, he was still sinful in the eyes of the Lord. So, but he was king over Israel. But Jehoshaphat at the time was king over Judah. And so Jehoram, he sends word to Jehoshaphat and says, look, the king of Moab has rose up against me and said, I need you to come and join with me and fight with me to overcome him, because I can't do it on my own. And so Jehoshaphat went, and also the king of, I think it was Edom, went, and the three of them joined up, you know, to forces and that. And they got up there and that, and they didn't have any water. No water for the men, no water for the animals, no water for anything. And so Jehoshaphat says to the king of Israel, Jehoram, he says, don't you have a prophet somewhere there in Israel? And he said, yes. He said, we do. And so it was Elisha. And so they went to go see Elisha. And when they got up there, and Elisha beholds Jehoram, he gets angry just at the sight of him. Boy, it makes me want to get into something else I'm kind of looking into and studying, but I don't want to. But, you know, he actually gets, he really gets beside himself over it. And he gets angry about it. And he actually looks at Jehoram and says, look, if it wasn't for the king of Judah, I wouldn't even talk to you. I wouldn't even look at you. And it was because of the sins of Jehoram and the sins he was leading Israel into. And Elisha, you know, it gets him so upset that, you know, He can't tell them anything. He can't get a word from the Lord. He can't do anything for them. He's so upset. And so he says, bring me a minstrel. And so they bring in a minstrel, and he begins to play. And as he begins to play, the presence of the Lord begins to come. And Elisha gets refreshed. And once Elisha gets refreshed, and then the Lord can anoint him, then Elisha says, look, he said, you go down there in that desert, and he said, in that valley, he says, and you dig it full of ditches. He says, and you're not going to see any wind or any rain, but the Lord is going to give you water. And so they went down then into the valley, and they dug it full. And remember, Elijah said, dig it full of ditches. Don't just dig one ditch. Dig that valley full of ditches. Because God's going to come and fill him with water. Friends, I'll tell you something. They didn't see any rain, but they needed some water. Now, their job wasn't to provide water. Their job was to provide the place to hold the water. It was God that was going to bring the water. You say, how was God going to bring water out there in the middle of that valley? How did he bring it to the children of Israel when there wasn't no rain or anything around and all there was a rock? He told Moses, said, you smite that rock, and out of that rock cracked, and out of that rock came out water. You say, it's really strange. Why would God have water come out of a rock? A rock can't hold water. It was all a part of a beautiful foreshadowing and type. Christ being our rock, but he's also where we get our water from. Now, look, friends, dig the valley full of ditches, he says. Now, I want you to realize something. Maybe they got out there with their shovels and picks or whatever they had and began to dig, and they would run into something that was in the way, that was a hindrance on that. What do? Just throw that out of the way and keep on digging. Now, if any of y'all have ever, and I'm sure you have if you live here, try to dig a hole in Tennessee, you're going to find you're going to run into a bunch of rocks and stuff. It's some hard digging. And you can't just give up because you run into a bunch of rocks. You got to move them out of the way and keep on digging. I remember one time me and my boys, we were trying to dig a post hole. You know, and you run into a rock, you know, in a post hole, you're trying to keep it, you know, you're trying to dig deep. You ain't trying to dig big. But you run into a rock, and you're like, well, I'm going to have to dig around this thing, get that thing out of there, because this is where the post's got to go. I can't just find another place. By the time we got done digging, we had a hole this big around. You know, we were trying to dig down, thinking whatever it was, you know, 2 feet or whatever, you know, and that, but man, we had to dig way out this way just to get that rock out of there. You hit a rock and it looks like it's that big, and by the time you dig it out, it's that big. Brother Abraham said, look, the deeper you dig the ditch, the more water it's going to hold. And so what Brother Branham is bringing us out in this message, he preached it a couple of times about make the valley full of ditches, and actually, you know, the first time Brother Branham covers this, it's actually very short. There's only, I think, like 37 paragraphs. Brother Branham just talks about it in about 2 or 3 paragraphs, you know, and then he starts a healing service. But, you know, he's talking about you coming into the service. And when you're coming to church, look, friends, make preparations to receive from the Lord. And I'll tell you, yes, the song service that we have at the beginning of the service, it is to help you to get your mind off of the things where you come from and all these things and begin to worship the Lord and begin to get in the presence of the Lord and things like that. You know, and I'll tell you something. You know, look, sing. Clap your hands, raise your hands, worship the Lord, forget about everybody around you, and just get into to what's going on. Really begin to offer up worship to the Lord. What are you doing? You're making room for the water that's going to come. And you know, friends, Brother Branham says, look, he said, you go to digging. He says, and sometimes you run into some kind of garbage. And Brother Branham said, and what do? You got to throw that garbage out of there and keep on digging. The Bible says, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. And let us run this race with patience. Besetting sins, we call them. Lay aside these things. Brother Branham said, you run into somebody, you know, while you're digging, you run into somebody that's bringing actually a discouraging word and things like that. He said, don't listen to them. Throw them to the side. Kick them out of there. And keep digging. You need healing in your life, you know, he said, and you think, well, maybe God will heal me this service. He says, kick that thought out of there. Said, look, he said he's the healer. I'm going to believe he's going to heal me. Make preparations. Begin to try to get your mind on the Lord. Enter into the worship once you come in. The singing in the Bible, the singing always went before the ark, which was the word. We have a song service, friends, so you can worship God, but also so you can start to get your hearts and minds ready to receive and hear from the Lord. Get yourself centered on the Lord and the things of the Lord. Start thinking about what he's done for you while you're singing the songs. When you're singing the songs of, you know, I know it was the blood, start thinking about the blood. You know, friends, look, think about what you're singing. Get into it. Become part with it. Don't sit there thinking about other things. You know, Brother Darrell Ward, God bless him, you know, he used to say, you know, some people are shopping at Walmart where they're sitting on the pew. They're thinking about what they got to pick up on Monday. Look, friends, let's let tomorrow take care of itself. Let's get our minds centered on the Lord when we come. Get ready to receive. If you come expecting to receive from the Lord, I'll tell you this, you will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. You know, friends, look, the closing of the service. The word comes, and like I said, it refreshes us. We get in the presence of the Lord during the song service at the end, and it's preparing us to receive the word. The word comes. It gives us instruction. It gives us guidance. It gives us encouragement. It gives us encouragement because of the times. Look, we come here, and even though we're trying to get our minds on the things of the Lord and things like that, it doesn't mean that we still don't got some bills to pay or we don't still got something we got to take care of in this life. Well, you know, and just coming into the service doesn't automatically, you know, deliver you out of some kind of trial that you might be going through right then. But what happens is the presence of the Lord comes and the word comes and it gives you encouragement. Look, the Lord knows what I'm going through. The Lord's going to bring me out of this. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Amen. Look, you take that in. What are you doing? You're eating of the word of God. And what's happening during the preaching is the word of God is being sown in your hearts. But God doesn't want to just just leave you with that and have you leave out the door. Brother Branham says, then the Lord, what he wants to do is after that, the seed of the word has been planted, he wants to come and water that with his spirit. That's why you sing and worship after the preaching. And I know there's some times that you see me after the preaching, you know, I'll be up here a few minutes and then I'll leave. I'll go back there. You know, I've got to go to the restroom. You know, I've gotten more that way over my age and different things and that. And then, but I come back out. And we're here because, you know, we try to be here so that while the presence of the Lord is here, if somebody's got a need, we can pray with them. But the Holy Spirit will come after that word is preached, and what's it doing? The presence of the Lord sweeping over you. It's watering that seed that's there. Because it's not just good words we're trying to deliver. It's everlasting words. It's actually, there's a life to the word. There's a reality to it. And it's not just something that we're trying to convince your mind of something. You know, there's sometimes people come and you know, they get convinced for one reason or another this is true or that or whatever. But it never actually comes in and becomes part with them. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing when he comes in the service. He's wanting to actually come in. And Brother Ram says at the end of the service, he's wanting to come in. He's wanting to make love to you. He's wanting to show you how he loves you. And that word to actually take root in you. Not just good words for your mind. That actually, you know, becomes, that word becomes a life in you that just is lived out through you automatically. When it becomes a life like that, you don't always got to stand around thinking, oh, I'm in this particular situation, how should I react, what should I do? It's just going to happen. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes because we're in this flesh. And I'm looking forward to a time to get out of it. But if we make a mistake, we don't quit. We just get up and keep going. Because I'll tell you something, friends, that life, as that life begins to grow in you, it's going to just keep coming out automatically. You're going to do the right things. Hallelujah. We come to be refreshed. Let's stand. That's why the word says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, even so much more as you see the day approach. What the day is talking about? The end. The end of it. Endure to the end, the Bible says. And we look around us, friends, and we see how the direction this world is going, the direction politics is going, the direction the morality of people is going to be. We've got to be at the end time. We've got to be coming down to the judgment. So even so much more as you see the day approach, assemble yourselves together. And I'll tell you something, friends, it's not just, and I know the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name there, I'll be in the midst. That is so true. But you, like I've said so many times, you can't just take one scripture, set it alone, and stand on that one scripture. You got to stand on the entire word. So assembling ourselves, it's not just a little gathering. coming to hear from the Lord. It's coming that our faith would grow. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. And it says, how can they hear unless there be a preacher? You want to know the difference, Brother Todd, between me and a tape? You can't select me. You cannot select what I'm going to say. I didn't say that because I thought you had a problem with it, Brother Todd. I just, you know. But look, you know, it there's people out there believe, you know, just push play. Well, they can select what they're going to play. And I know people can select what they're going to hear. But you know something, friends? I believe that God is an all-time God. I believe he is a present God. And I believe there's times what we need is we need the Lord to come down and actually bring across this pulpit things that's been going through our heads over the past week or even the past few hours. Answer our immediate questions in a supernatural way. Because you say, look, I ain't been on the phone with these preachers. They weren't present when I was talking to so-and-so. They weren't present when this was happening this past week in my life. But somebody was. And it was Jesus. And he tells us that he knows what we have need of, even before we ask. But I'll tell you something. When you're coming to church, look, if you've got needs, ask the Lord to meet them. If you've got questions, ask the Lord to meet them. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask God that you will just go with each one. And I pray, Lord God, that you, knowing, Lord God, what they're going to be facing this coming week, dear God, Lord God, that you will be with them. You'll go with them, Father, for you said you would. Be right there with them through each thing they faced and decisions they have to make, dear God. Lord, and the elements and influences of this world that we have to live through. There's things of this world that, Lord, this world is set up in a way to try to constantly bombard people's minds with things, to persuade them in certain ways and to even cause them to buy certain things in that, Lord. Help them throughout this week and the coming days ahead, Lord. Bless them today, I pray. In Jesus' name.